Holiday watches it hit at the 27, takes a giant bounce. He picks it up at the 18, scampers out of the 25-30. Holiday out of the 40-yard line. The speeches loose. Midfield, here we go. Holiday steps out of a tackle. 25-20, 15-10, 5 to the house. Trindon Holiday, the dagger, an 82-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Stick a fork in him and turn him over, Dave. These New York Giants are done.
46-yard attempt officially. Looking up into the sunshine. Here's a snap. Ball down. Kick on the way from Novak. Hurtling towards those goalposts, and it is good! Nick Novak sliding at the 50-yard line. That's victory formation. The Chargers 33, Philadelphia 30.
You know what ruins podcasting? Two things. Number one, having to do a 20-page report. That ruins a podcast. And probably even a greater offender of that, big NFL trades. Yes, that's right. A big NFL in-season trade for once. It's been a while since we have one, but we're here to talk about it. It's Joe Montana's RightArm.com, the JMRA podcast with you. You can find us on, again, Joe Montana's RightArm.com and on Twitter at Joe M's RightArm. Well, quick story for you. As I was recording the podcast, I was actually doing this on Tuesday night. I recorded originally a podcast that was going to be released probably Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning. And as luck would have it, things got delayed a little bit. And by the time they got delayed and I got free to work on it again, Trent Richardson had been traded. So you know what I said? I said, let's start all over again because we have to redo the whole thing. So we're going to start off by talking about the Trent Richardson situation, and then it will eventually get to week two and week three because we have been away in part as a reference to a 20-page report. Work gets in the way of so many things. Hey, it's great. It's awesome. It pays the bills. But sometimes real life calls and you have to be a little bit detained from what you want to do. But anyhow, let's talk about this Trent Richardson trade because it does have some ramifications here from a fantasy perspective and, of course, the far more significant real-life perspective. First things first, a lot of people are complaining about this trade and wondering, you know, how could the Browns do this? They're tanking the season. Why is this happening? Yada, yada, yada. A couple of things you take note of. Number one, you have to understand that this is not Mike Lombardi's team. Mike Lombardi, the Browns GM. This is not Joe Banner's team. Banner team president. It's not his team. So what? I mean, what did you expect? Is it shocking that they did it game three into the season? Yeah, sure. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But this is a franchise that is notorious. Since they rebooted the franchise in 1999, they are famous for rebooting over and over and over and over again. Since 1999. We've seen it, and now we're going to see it again. And it's unfortunate because you'd like to see them get some of these guys like Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon and sit on them for a few years and see what happens. What you're going to get is another Browns reboot because they received a 2014 pick from the Indianapolis Colts who received Trent Richardson. And now you look at that Colts offense with Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton and now Trent Richardson in the mix. That's a good offense. I still don't know if they're not ready for the Denvers of the world yet. I don't think this is a contending team yet as far as, you know, being a conference championship level, Super Bowl level squad, but they have a nice offense. Obviously it's an offense that, you know, if you're into fantasy football, it's an offense, yeah, it'll help. It'll improve your quality of life as far as fantasy football goes on Sundays, but I think from the real world perspective, obviously it's a big deal, certainly. I mean, this is a Browns team now that really it was already kind of devoid of talent, and now they're going to be even further in the hole with it. So you wonder what Mike Lombardi has up his sleeve. You know, if you're looking at them, you know, going in the tank because of this, well, a couple of things you have to consider. Number one, the Browns are going to have a good draft pick because they're not going to win more than five games this year. So if that's the case, then you're already in the top five. The Colt pick I was talking to one of my coworkers about this earlier. The Colts pick is probably going to be somewhere you would think between 15 and, I don't know, 25. It's probably likely to fall in between those numbers. So if you're the Browns, I mean, you're going to be covered on the front end with your draft with your own pick, and then you're going to be covered on the back end of the first round with the Colts pick. So I get it. You know, the Browns don't have talent, so they need to stockpile picks, but don't you need to get more than one pick for Trent Richardson besides a number one? I know that, hey, it's great to get a number one pick, but considering where you're getting it, I don't know. We shall see. I think it's definitely going to be a questionable trade and a trade that has a lot to it heading in to the weeks to come. So let's get into week two here and a couple of things we picked up on from, well, actually week one and week two for that matter, because we haven't talked to you since week one, but a couple of things to think about here as we move forward, okay? Two things stand out decisively. Number one, if you're a fan of an NFC East team, this is going to be a long year for you. And I'm not saying from a wins and losses perspective, because, you know, it could one of these teams catch lightning in a bottle, probably, sure. But are you looking at a team that's going to win 11 or 12 games? I seriously doubt it. Are you looking at a team that can win 10 games? Yeah, probably. But we're looking at a lot of teams in that division that are going to win somewhere between 7 and 9 games. And why? The defenses are atrocious. The New York Giants have given up the most points in football with 77 points. Right above them at 31, the Washington Redskins, who have given up 71 points in two games. The Cowboys look like the 85 Bears in comparison to those two teams. And then there's the Eagles. Lost in all preseason long, the hysteria of, you know, Chip Kelly, what's this offense going to look like? It's so quick. They move the ball so well. They're scoring. How are we going to stop this offense? That defense stinks. It's not good. They don't have enough talent to bear that out. And I think a couple of things are the problem, or at hand here as far as being the problem. Number one, the talent isn't there, as I said. You know, to me, the guy who stands out when you watch him play is Kerry Williams. Sure, Trent Cole's there too. They have a couple of nice defensive linemen, but you don't see the attitude on defense. And I'll tell you another thing too. I don't think the Chip Kelly system is very friendly to a defense. You know, we've seen the Patriots run out here over the last really 3 or 4 years with this up-tempo offense. And what happens is, your defense just gets exposed so much because you're on the field forever. You're on the field a lot. And when defenses have to deal with that, I think that's a big problem. So one of the things that really these teams are going to have to think about when you're running this fast tempo, no huddle offense, sooner or later, your defense is going to get worn out. And I think you saw that on Sunday with the Eagles. The Eagles moved the ball extremely well, had over 500 yards of offense in under 20 minutes. That's crazy. 20 minutes of TOP, time of possession, and they had over 500 yards of offense and still lost the game, in part because their defense was on the field for way too long, on the field for almost 40 minutes. And they got chopped up by Phil Rivers. I mean, and then, of course, the debacle at the end of the game with Chip Kelly. Hey, Chip Kelly did a bad job. You know, he doesn't know the injury rules with Michael Vick and whether or not he should stay out of the game or come back into the game. And then the two-minute drill. I know people are making excuses for him. Well, he doesn't know any other way to coach. Well, you better learn. This is not, you know, you're not playing Oregon State on Fox, okay, at 11 o'clock at night. You know, this is the NFL. You know, this is not Colorado. This is not UCLA. You're playing real live teams here on a week in and week out basis. And yeah, you can't, some of the nonsense you get away with in college, it's not going to fly here in the pros. And I think Chip Kelly started to find that out. on Sunday. You know, not taking care of business with the clock. You don't create extra possessions for good quarterbacks, and that's what Chip Kelly did on Sunday. He created an extra possession for Phil Rivers, who throughout that game had shown you the ability all day long to drive that ball in the Eagles' defense. Showed it to you all, even without Malcolm Floyd, who went out with a neck injury. There was nothing in that game that said to you, wow, the Eagles are going to really do an outstanding job of getting the Chargers' offense off the field. You know, Eddie Royal's running wide open all over the place. Antonio Gates is open. You know, they just move the ball at will. And what can you do about it? But nonetheless, the NFC East is in grave danger. And the Redskins, hey, if you're a Redskins fan, good night. The season's over. The Redskins are going to win 6 games this year. And it's pretty much set in stone as far as I'm concerned. The Redskins, I think, so much has been put into this RG3 thing, we forget. Number one, they were 3-6 last year after 9 games. Secondly, this is a team that just, they are not good as far as a talent man in, man out type thing. I don't see this group really being a major factor in a playoff chase this year. I think it's really going to be a major, major stretch for them to get into the postseason. I think we've seen what we've seen from the defense, and I think the offense, they're a slow starting offense here through the first 2 games with RG3 back in the mix, so that's a big problem for them too. So the NFC East is not good, and the other division that is on red alert right now. I'll tell you what, if I have an enemy in life that I want to torture or make just simply fall asleep, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have him sit down and watch some of these AFC North games. Oh my goodness. This division is dreadful. You know, we've heard about the Steelers and Ravens over the last couple of years. Oh, what a great rivalry it is. It's so good for the NFL, yada, yada, yada. How are you going to feel when the Steelers take on the Ravens this year? People won't be jumping over hurdles to watch that game on television. Not this year. Not the way the Steelers have played. The Steelers are staring at being 0-3 when they host Chicago next week, because that's no picnic either. And then the Ravens, you know, they score 14 points against the Browns in their building. That's not instilling confidence. The Bengals are all right. I think people went way too hard in on them with going to the Super Bowl. They're a nice team. That's it. And then the Browns, we've already talked about that. They're the Browns. So you have to manage your expectations with some of these teams, people. The AFC North is terrible. The NFC East is, pound for pound, the worst division to me is the East, the NFC East. I think that's the worst division. Not from a perspective of offense. They have plenty of offensive talent. But I think when you take a look at what they're matched up against in the conference, I just don't see how those teams are going to stand up. You know, the AFC East is not much better either. And you could easily argue that it's worse. But to me, the AFC East is helped out by the fact that this is easily the worst AFC field in, God, 20 years. I mean, this AFC field this year is bad. Terrible. Denver's good. And then take a number after that. None of these teams instill any confidence in you to A, make significant stops, and B, they're not sound teams. We saw the Patriots. Clearly, they have some issues with their receivers. Houston was down 24-16 at home to Jake Locker and the Titans, and probably should have been closed out if the Titans knew how to take care of business. You go down the line. Kansas City and Miami are playing well to start out the season, but they're certainly... There's certainly some issues there with those two teams, and the jury's still out on them. So when you look at the AFC, I mean, oh, who's the second best team in the AFC right now? Houston? I mean, is that who it is? Boy, if that's the case, we're in trouble. But yeah, nonetheless, this AFC field this year is terrifying. Quick break here on the initial segment of the JMRA podcast. We'll be back with a look at week number three in the National Football League. Stay tuned.
Jones to the left. Rodgers pumps, going end zone, and it is caught. Jordy Nelson on the right side of the end zone, beating the safety, Bakari Rambo. He takes the Lambeau leap, and the Packers extend the lead 30-0.
Back here on the JMRA podcast as we head towards a look at week number three in the NFL. By the way, I know I had mentioned a few weeks ago that Darren Jones Esquire, or whatever he's calling himself, would be appearing on the podcast. He is impossible to get a hold of. This guy will tell you he's going to do something, and then he's impossible to get a hold of. So we've been trying. He'll be on the show eventually. It's just going to take some work and, like, you know, 3 weeks of advance notice. That's how he rolls. The man, I tried to get a hold of him last night. What's he doing? He's sleeping at like 10:30, like he's an adult or something. How dare he go to sleep at a reasonable hour? Anyways, it's time to take a look, and we're going to shoot around here at week three, give you some fantasy tips as well as we mosey on down the way here and take a look at what's going on in the NFL this week. First game up is the Andy Reid Bowl in Philadelphia. The Eagles hosting the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday Night Football, which is slowly but surely becoming the bane of my existence. The Thursday Night Football package, how many good games have you seen on Thursday Night Football? Not many. And I'm going to tell you why. Football wasn't meant to be played on a Sunday and then played again on a Thursday if you're in the NFL. The human body takes long enough to recover from that stuff, and then you're going to shorten the process. So they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to recover, and then Thursday they're back at it again. That's why these games are so rough. I mean, last Thursday you saw those receivers in the Jets-Patriots game dropping passes. I think a part of that was a function of the weather, and I think a part of it, too, is a function of the fact these guys don't practice for the same amount of time or have the same schedule when they play on Thursday night. It's not like playing a Monday night game. But anyhow, I digress. Eagles-Chiefs. It's pretty simple. The Eagles defensively have got to get stops. The Eagles offense is going to move the ball. You know, the usual suspects for them, DeSean Jackson, who has played extremely well so far this season, and he is really the top dog right now when you take a look at average yards per catch and really making big plays. Also, LeSean McCoy has been huge as well. Leads the NFL with 356 yards from scrimmage. So he is tops there. And he will look to continue his solid play against the Chiefs. Meanwhile, for Kansas City, you know, it's interesting. They're playing against such a shabby defensive unit. You wonder if Alex Smith can take advantage of that. Smith so far this season, 291 yards and 5 touchdowns. He's played well, but he hasn't really been tested a significant amount as far as facing a team that's going to put up points in bunches. Now, one of the reasons why is because his defense is pretty good. And that is one issue to think about heading in to this game on Thursday night. Meanwhile, Jamaal Charles, you know, it's going to be a mixed bag with the Eagles' run defense. They've stopped the run okay so far. It hasn't been a complete disaster for them. But Dwayne Bowe, he can clearly do some damage to that secondary. So Eagles versus Andy Reid. Essentially, that's what it is. Eagles-Chiefs, the Andy Reid Bowl. I'm sure he will get applause and immediately followed by a round of booze. Sunday, Houston at Baltimore. We talked about the dreaded AFC North. Well, here it is. The Texans and Ravens getting together in a rematch of that dreadful playoff game from 2011. By the way, first team since the merger in 1970 to win each of its first two games of the season on the final play. The Houston Texans. How about that? So the Texans coming in with some momentum, and, you know, I think you have to like them going into this game, even though it's in Baltimore. The thing you want to take out of this game from a fantasy perspective, how about Arian Foster so far? Arian Foster is just not getting it done. He is really struggling when you take a look at his yards per carry versus Ben Tate. Ben Tate's averaging over 8 yards a carry so far this season. Meanwhile, Foster, not quite where he needs to be. Has carried the ball 37 times, barely over 100 yards on the season. So he's had some problems. Meanwhile, Ben Tate has really been the guy for them, who has been really the biggest factor rushing the football. Andre Johnson has been important as well. But the Ravens defense, you would suspect they'll rebound after that dreadful performance in week one, allowing 7 touchdown passes to Peyton Manning. And they did last week in the win over Cleveland, but obviously that's a different beast. And the Texans have some more skilled players than what the Cleveland Browns do. Green Bay at Cincinnati could be the game of the day. Aaron Rodgers coming off of a 480-yard performance. There's nothing worse than having Aaron Rodgers play on your fantasy team, throw for 480 yards and 4 touchdowns and lose the game. That's what I did last week. But anyhow, you take a look at Rodgers heading into this contest. He's playing a very good Cincinnati defense. The Bengals defense had some trouble with Jay Cutler and that Bears offense in week one, and then week two against Pittsburgh pretty much shut them down and held them in check. So the Packers will have their work cut out for them in Cincinnati, but I got to tell you, when the Packers are humming on offense with that passing game, that is a thing to watch. Jordy Nelson, couple of scores last week. Also, James Jones having a huge week as well. So the Packers with 2 100-yard receivers last week. James Jones, 11 catches, 178 yards, along with Randall Cobbs, 9 for 128 and a score. So they were big last week. And again, until they give you reason otherwise, even though Cincinnati's D has been pretty good, clearly you're going to start your Green Bay Packers from the fantasy side of things. Giants at Panthers, battle of the 0-2s. Well, the last time these two teams got together, the Giants absolutely eviscerated Carolina on Thursday Night Football, 36-7 last year in Charlotte. And that was a coming out party of sorts for Andre Brown, who unfortunately for the Giants suffered an injury. He will not be back this year. So that's an issue for them in that running game. You know, David Wilson having a case of the fumbles in Dallas in week one. He was back in week two, but it just didn't seem like he was running with any verve. So more so worried about protecting the football than anything else. And that led to Brandon Jacobs being a factor in last weekend's loss to the Denver Broncos. But nonetheless, from the Carolina side, I think Cam Newton's one of those guys who just gets better as the season goes on. So I'm not sure he's going to give you a lot coming up on Sunday. D'Angelo Williams leading the team in rushing. I don't see a lot from that Carolina offense as far as eventually beating the Giants on Sunday. I think Carolina could score some points, but I'm just looking for the Giants to get the W there. Let's move along to the Rams and Cowboys. The Cowboys are a weird team. You can never figure them out. They're in their building on Sunday against the Rams. I think the Rams will be able to do some business and move the football. By the way, quick note, the last time these two teams met, it was back on October the 23rd. DeMarco Murray rushed for 253 yards. The Cowboys would love, 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 love for that to happen again. Love for that to happen again. Not going to be so easy with this Rams defense, which the defensive front, you have to really like the front four that the Rams have put together. But, you know, sooner or later, the Rams are going to have to start producing here some wins, like some consecutive wins. They haven't been able to do that in a consistent fashion, and they haven't been able to play in a consistent fashion this year as of yet. For the Cowboys, and one thing you have to be careful of here, Dez Bryant, you know, missing practice, sitting out practice with an injury, a back injury, so that's going to be something you have to keep your eye on with him. He's a guy, clearly one of the elite wide receivers in the NFL at this point. You'd like to have him out there, but it appears he's laboring a little bit with his help. How excited are you for Cleveland at Minnesota on Sunday, especially now that Trent Richardson's no longer a Brown? My goodness. And then Brian Hoyer was named starter on Wednesday for the Browns as well. So are you ready for Brian Hoyer versus Christian Ponder? No? Okay, well, we can skip ahead to that game. You know, Adrian Peterson, do your thing. Josh Gordon coming back this week for the Browns. Not sure how much of a factor he'll be. He led the team in receiving yards last year and TDs as well, so he'll be back in the mix with the team. 805.5 last year as far as receiving yards and touchdown receptions go for him. Interesting game here between New England and Tampa. It's in Foxborough. Now, look, Tampa Bay has some weapons. And I'm gonna call me crazy here. If you told me Tampa Bay was going to go into Foxborough and win this game on Sunday, honestly, I wouldn't be shocked, considering how the Patriots played last Thursday night when they took on the Jets. Vincent Jackson, 15 catches, 306 yards, and three touchdowns in his past two games against the Patriots. So he has a history of performing well against New England. Doug Martin, 144 yards last week. You really wonder here if this has some upset potential. I'm not saying I'm not going to pick the Bucs to win. I'm not crazy. But if you get the same performance out of the Patriots as you got last Thursday night and kind of what you saw in week one, I mean, there's some problems there. And a lot of it just stems from injury. Tom Brady has really struggled this year throwing the football. And, you know, a lot of that is a function of the wide receiving situation. He has a passer rating right now of 74.1. Incredibly, that's still higher than his counterpart on Sunday, Josh Freeman, who is, they've stripped him of the captaincy. I mean, I'm waiting for them to run out on the field and pull the jersey off the guy's back. I mean, he is under fire right now in Tampa. So would the Patriots be very careful, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers so far through the first 2 weeks, number two in points against wide receivers from a fantasy side. So the defense doing a good job against wide receivers, and we'll see if they can keep that up against New England on Sunday. Arizona at New Orleans, that could very well be a shootout. The Saints defense, though, how about them playing a lot better as of late? Held Tampa Bay, who has, you know, they have some offensive talent, held Tampa Bay to 14 points. You know, made the goal line stand against Atlanta in week one. So New Orleans making some plays here defensively. And if they can do that on a consistent basis, they're going to be dangerous in the NFC. Of course, Drew Brees in the mix on Sunday. Clearly, your Saints are all go as far as needing to start them. Colston, Graham, Brees. On the Cardinals side, Larry Fitzgerald had a hamstring injury late in the week, and then it kind of went the way of, well, he may not play too, he's going to play. And then they pulled him in the second half because he wasn't effective. So if you're a Fitzgerald owner, proceed with caution. He has said he will be ready to go on Sunday, but you wonder how much of a problem that injury is going to be. San Diego at Tennessee, Phil Rivers, Antonio Gates, Eddie Royal, who is the bell of the ball on fantasy waiver wires this week. That is probably the way you want to go in this game. The Titans still aren't a significant enough threat offensively. Detroit at Washington, 0-2 versus 1-1. And I got to tell you, if the Redskins had trouble stopping, you know, the Eagles in week one, have trouble against Green Bay in week two. Detroit's not exactly a picnic either with Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. That is by no means a layup at home in week three for the Redskins. Easily could be a loss for them. Matthew Stafford, he can chuck the ball around, and you wonder what the Redskins still will get out of RG3 on a consistent basis. We've seen him now the last 2 weeks in garbage time move the football. When the game mattered, he has not moved the football. So that's really a concerning issue if you're a Redskins fan. You'd like to see more out of him on a consistent basis thus far. But considering the injury he suffered, are we wildly shocked that this is happening to him? I don't think he can be. Atlanta at Miami. The Falcons trying to forge ahead to a 2-1 record on the season. Miami trying to move to 3-0, something they haven't done a lot of over the last few years as far as playing well goes. And you take a look at what they have last week against Indianapolis, a win there. And see, when you're a receiver and you complain the following week, yes, you will get the football. Mike Wallace, 9 catches, 115 yards against the Colts, along with a touchdown as well. Charles Clay had a 67-yard catch and 109 yards receiving last week. So Ryan Tannehill spread the ball around last week in Indianapolis. And against this Atlanta team, not out of the realm of possibility that the Dolphins get this one and move to 3-0. Your Falcons, you're going to start your traditional Atlanta Falcons in that game. Buffalo at the Jets. EJ Manuel, nice kid. you know, doesn't have a lot of fantasy value. But, hey, good come-from-behind win for them last week against Carolina in Buffalo. More power to him. EJ Manuel overcome by emotion after the game was over, broke down. Hey, give the guy credit. Brought the Bills back in a dire situation when it looked like they were going to go 2-0-2 on the year. Meanwhile, the Jets, woof. 1-1 and not a solid 1-1 either. Indianapolis at San Francisco as we head to the 4 o'clock games. I think this is going to be a rough outing for the Indianapolis Colts. The 49ers could very well be a little bit beaten up after playing Seattle last week, but just don't see it here with the Colts. I think this game is out of their pay grade, and I think that's what we'll see on Sunday. Andrew Luck returning back to the Stanford/San Francisco area, the Bay Area, so it's a big game for him. And for Luck, you know, so far this season, he's throwing the football well. 43 of 66, 499 yards passing on the season, 96.7 passer rating. So Luck has been solid thus far, and you wonder if the 49ers can hold him off along with the likes of T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne. And then you wonder what Trent Richardson's deal is going to be this weekend, or whether or not they decide to hold him out for another week and then bring him back. So a lot to be decided there. Jacksonville at Seattle is the worst game on the card in week 3. Jacksonville at Seattle. That game is just going to be a bloodletting. That is not going to be pretty. You want to pencil in 40-0 right there? I just think you're going to have all kinds of problems in that game if you're a Jaguars fan heading into Seattle. My goodness. Sunday night, Chicago at Pittsburgh. Well, this is a last call here for the Steelers. You go to 0-3, that's a wrap. You're probably not getting out of that as far as getting to the playoffs go. Meanwhile, the Bears at 2-0 in the season. And again, this hasn't been the problem with the Bears. The Bears have been able to start out seasons fine. It's a matter of finishing. And can they finish? That's going to be a big deal. The Bears, in this one, Forte has played very well thus far this season, being a factor with the offense. And then, you know, Jay Cutler, it's been the best of times and it's been the worst of times for him throughout the year. 5 touchdown passes, 2nd in the NFC, 95.4 passer rating so far. Makes decisions every now and again where you just shake your head and realize soon after that it is, in fact, Jay Cutler making the decisions. Meanwhile, Big Ben, 74.8 passer rating. Not good at all. I am sure there are some very, very, very concerned Steeler fans out there. And then last but not least, Oakland at Denver. Monday Night Football. Another ragged contest. By the way, the Broncos losing Ryan Clady, the starting left tackle, with a knee injury, and that could very well impact Peyton Manning. Again, that's a blindside protector of Peyton Manning, who's now out for the year. So a big injury to monitor, yes, even from a fantasy perspective. The left tackle is very, very important to the operation of an offensive line. It's that simple. So if they can't get him back up and running, then you wonder if that's going to impact Peyton Manning from the fantasy perspective this year as things wear on. So Broncos and Raiders close out week number 3, not the best of Monday night games, and not even the best of Sunday night games, but they all can't be 5-star spectaculars on a weekly basis. Well, that will help bring us to a close on the JMRA podcast. And then lastly, this one's for my buddy Kaz, big Buffalo Bills fan. EJ Manuel leading the Bills back to a win over the Carolina Panthers with a last-second touchdown pass.
One man to the right. He'll work in the shotgun, the snap. EJ looks left, fires into the end zone, got a man there, touchdown! Stevie Johnson, touchdown! Touchdown! He did it! He did it! EJ Manuel did it all the way down the field! The extra point to tie it up coming up!
Ah, yes. One day, Bills fans, you will be back in the land of relevancy. I'm not sure when. It'll happen at some point. Also, a reminder, you can check us out on SundaysAreForFootball.com. Again, SundaysAreForFootball.com. All right, gang, enjoy week number 3. Have a good one.